Before we begin, I just want you guys to know that we're going to be highlighting some really young entrepreneurs across the African continent who are doing some pretty amazing things. So stay tuned. This is the Knowledge Bandits Podcast, and I'm your host, Arun Galadima. I'm excited to bring you today's guest, Mr. Lonwabo Nkanda, a South African entrepreneur hailing from Soweto. I've given a very, very brief introduction, but can you take the time to let the bandits get to know you a little bit better, Lonwabo?
Oh, okay. Basically, what's my introduction? My name is Lonwabo Nkanda. I am from Soweto, Johannesburg in South Africa. I'm a 19-year-old. Professionally, I'm an audio engineer, mixing, mastering, and sound designer. But with entrepreneurship, I'm involved in numerous projects, which includes media as the forefront projects that I run. But I'm also into the entertainment industry as a whole. So yes, I'm 19. I'm currently from Soweto, as I said, which is really a place I grew up mostly. But I went to school out of town, out of the township. So that really gave me a sort of different light or different perspective to life. So that's who I am right now. So yeah.
Okay, great. Interesting. I think my only exposure to Soweto is through Hugh Masekela's song way back in
Soweto is quite it's an influential place in terms of really the roots of let's say pop culture in that sense.
Okay.
Because, you know, a lot of, you know, I'm not sure if you know Kwaito music. It's one of the forefront pop culture genres, which has evolved into a lot of hip hop and a lot of house music. That is, yes. So with you saying like you've never been exposed to that. So it's in that sense, you know, it's great. A lot of people have said that are out of the country, and when they really realize it, they see that, you know, Soweto has been the bread and butter place of where the South African landscape of pop culture originates. So yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So
how
did you get into sound? Music, the production side of things.
First, in terms of production, I started on high school, as any other person, just fiddle around with, you know, because I didn't have a laptop at that time, so I remember there was my cousin who had Fruity Loops, so I thought maybe it was like it's DJ software or something, and I was fiddling with it, and that, you know, it sort of became, I sort of grasped it, and when I had my own laptop at the time, I just, you know, I was just obsessed with it, you know, sometimes, you know, sorry mama, but sometimes even like, you know, bunk in school to just make beats, so, you know, I'm sorry ma, so, yeah, if she's right, she's gonna listen to the interviews, but like, it started out as that, but it evolved, and I studied audio engineering, which I just graduated this year.
Nice.
So, yeah, so it has really been that, but also with what fascinated me about sound was the fact that in South Africa, the sort of that sort of industry is not really pampered a lot by, you know, black nation, like black people. There's not a lot of black people that are into entertainment industry, let's say DJs or whatever, but in terms of sound, in terms of like the software, in terms of equipment, like equipment companies, the PA system companies. You know, there's not a lot of, you know, transformation in that sector. So that's one of the reasons that really fascinated me and really going to sound and audio. Yeah.
Interesting. So when you decided to get into entrepreneurship, what was that process like? Yeah. What led up to you starting your business?
Well, what led up to me starting my business was when I was in high school. There was an entrepreneurship program at Junior Achievement, which is a South African, because there is a worldwide version, foundation for it. But it was the South African branch. So in my high school, there was the program. So I went there because I was generally high school. I was that kid. I used to sell like sweets, sell everything from sweets, like cigarettes. Hey, like I was that kid, you know, because I really like, you know, sort of being dependent, I mean, independent in that sense, because I didn't like, you know, asking, you know, my parents for money, because, you know, my parents were not really, you know, the spoiling type. So I had to make money for myself. So at that time, I joined the entrepreneurship program, and, you know, it really opened my eyes to a lot of stuff. Then eventually the foundation had a joint venture with Investec to have a competition. So in this competition, I came out third place, and it was a nationwide competition, Junior Achievement Innovators, which was basically about like business ideas that can transform not only the economic landscape, but also the social landscape of wherever it is that you come from. So for me, it started there, you know, professionally, like when I really realized that entrepreneurship was, you know, really something that I want to pursue. And really at the longest time, it was really about me just being, you know, that kid that really, you know, has to prove people wrong, because, you know, when you're like 15 and you be like, I want to open a business, people like, what? Like you're crazy or something. But like at the time, you know, people saw the fruits of what I was doing at that time, and they were proud. So that really made me go full on entrepreneurship.
Nice. And can you explain what UltraShare is to those listening?
Oh, UltraShare is basically an online entertainment and lifestyle store. Basically for the people, by the people, for the people. So it's basically it showcases lifestyle in terms of South Africa on different aspects, in terms of youth culture, in terms of food, in terms of politics, news, in terms of just the South Africa as a whole. But in essence, it's really a movement more than it is a business. It's just about just embracing who we are as people and really finding the best in ourselves. So it was just, it started out as a movement, but it soon progressed to and you know, it's all thanks to the people and you know, for the masses, for sure, and just, you know, love. You know, so yeah, I'm really inspired by that. But it's basically just, you know, for me now, it's more of like a foundation, or it's a foundation of excellence, of Black excellence to be exact. You know, for them to realize that dreams are not in vain, and you know, they can push and you know, with whatever it is, if you put your mind into it, you know, you can achieve it. So yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And what size or scale are you operating at right now? Like, how many employees do you have?
Well, at the time, when we started out as a movement, it was more about a movement, really. But as time propelled, you know, we it really And I realized that, you know, sometimes, you know, you just got to use more of your brain than your heart. So I started being more open-minded. A lot of young people were starting to, you know, come through, you know, and really show what they got. For the past couple of years, really it's been more about heavily researching about the market that I want to venture into, because I feel like that's very important for every business or even innovation, you know, because a lot of, you know, entrepreneurs in general, you know, in the first like 8 months of the business, you know, the business collapses or whatever. And it's just because they don't know the industries or the market they're targeting. So it was more about that at that time. So right now it's full on back mode. So right now the employees that we have, it's a couple of like four, you know. So for me it's amazing because I remember there was like a woman at the seminar. I forgot her name, but she said young people think that you have to be like Mark Zuckerberg or whatever to and employ thousands of people to make your presence be felt in the world. But with even like two people, you know, you can truly make a difference, and that really hit home, you know, because you know with South Africa, with the state with the state of our economy, which is post 1994, since our freedom, you know, the economy hasn't much decentralized, and with that, you know, unemployment is very high, you know, and you know, especially at the youth level. So for me, just even, you know, being you know, able to have, you know, people on the team and people that still want to be on the team. And you know, it's not that if you're not an employee, you're not part of you know, the movement. You know, you can be on the movement, as you know, you can just, you know, hit us up, you know, because you know, the unemployment is really going at an alarming rate. So it's really, you know, it's an appreciation for me to be that person, you know, that gives people a chance, you know. So yeah.
Nice. And what is the main issue that you're trying to address, the thing that you're trying to solve with UltraShare?
Well, with UltraShare, what we wanted to share, to try and address is promoting art and talent to you know, the mainstream to the mainstream fraternity, because, you know, there's a lot of, you know, talent, there's a lot of hardworking people, you know, generally in South Africa. And I feel like if we can work together and try and build one another and have, you know, resources circulating around us, we can really build up something that's great, you know. And also, we wanted to try and combat piracy, because, you know, there's a lot of South African, you know, artists, and, you know, generally there's a lot of entertainment in South Africa. And I feel like the entertainment can be a lot further if we can have, you know, we can really combat, it's really hampering our economy and stuff. So it really, really hit home at that time, because that's one of the main reasons why I did that idea on the Investec competition. It was because, you know, I felt that, you know, piracy is really, really, really hampering, you know, a lot of South African artists at that. Because, you know, the market is generally not a lot. And with that, the piracy level is too high. So for me, it was about combating that and really, just promoting the lifestyle that we as South Africans enjoy day in, day out. So yeah.
Mm. And what is your main product to the market? If people go to your website, do they purchase things, or are they listening to music, or how does that work?
Well, with that, there's different sections. Like, we have music, we have videos, we have modeling, we also have events, in which events we have different categories. We have media coverage, which we cover the event that you might have or whatever. Then with that, we can cover the event, and also at your request, you can also furthermore intensify the content that was generated from the event. For example, we can do like a mini edited movie, or we can do a mini docu. So we transgress in that sense, but basically it's just it's read art media, and yeah, there's more in it. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. And we've talked a little bit about you and your journey, but we want to know more about you as an entrepreneur. So what fires you up in the morning? What is your morning routine? And why is that routine so important to you?
Wow. With what fires me up? Wow. What fires me up each every day is like the possibility or discovery. Because I was listening to there was a Leo Cohen interview, who's like the former founding member or founder of Def Jam. Mm-hmm. And he said, for the 30 odd years in the business, what gives them the reason, or what fires them up for the past 30 odd years, is knowing the possibility that you meet up different people, and someone new will change whatever landscape of whatever it is that you see in life, whether it's music, whether it's politics, whether it's business, whether it's everything. So for me, what fired me up is just people. So for that sentiment that he said, really, I shared really for me, because it's what fires me up every day. And, you know, for me, my routine really is just me. Wake up in the morning, do a couple of push-ups, handle a bit of calls, then go to my audio studio. Then, you know, at some time, also check in on the visual studio if the progress is there. But like, for me, I'm most of the time in my audio studio. So, for me, that thing of always having passion for people, it's really what fires me up every day. And, you know, that's just what it is. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And a big part of being an entrepreneur is having that passion for whatever you're doing, but you also need to be able to make money. So can you share with us how you generate revenue? Are you fully sufficient on the business, or do you have other things on the side that you do as well?
Yes, with that, we also have other things on the side, because with sustaining yourself in this very difficult entrepreneurship landscape of South Africa, you know, it comes with a lot of challenges. I sustain myself by, at some point, I sustain myself by doing a lot of free work for exposure, in hoping to get more free gigs. Well, in that sense, it was a double-edged sword, but, because when you start charging, you know, some, you know, potential customers be like, you know, but, I really saw that, you know, it was time, you know, to be more efficient and be more, in control of just not only, you know, the finances, but also the cash flow. So we try and constantly break even or make profit through branded merchandise, through our media coverage, also through our audio engine networks, like mixing and mastering, and also through handling a bit of events at some time, you know, do market events, you know, where we invite a lot of designers, a lot of local designers, a lot of cuisine experts, you know, just, you know, have a day, you know, where people just, you know, they experience, you know, the local manufactured scent of what South Africa is capable of. So yeah, that's what we try and sustain ourselves on. Yeah.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
And as we push forward a little bit, you find that entrepreneurs typically have points where they experience difficulty. Sometimes you reach a point where you're not sure whether you can go on, and we call those the low points. Mm. So can you share one of those specific moments with us?
For me, the low points, I would say, you know, it was when I started out, you know, as a 14-year-old, you know, completely, you know, clueless about the nitty-gritty details of business on a real life level, because I started business studies when I was in high school, you know, and you know, when I was really, you know, I saw my vision and I wanted to pursue it even further, I saw that, you know, what I was studying in school was not, you know, necessarily what affects entrepreneurs like me, you know, on the ground, you know. So for me, it was at that time, you know, just be, you know, because I couldn't at that time, you know, register my business. I couldn't at that time do anything. But, you know, with that, you know, it really showed, you know, me that I was really strong at that time for someone to even think that, you know, people are so really terrified of, you know, entrepreneurship. But for me to go on that route at that point in time, you know, as a kid, I was really, you know, it was really difficult. But, you know, as time grew, you know, as people saw, you know, what, you know, I was capable of, it was, you know, it was great.
Nice. And so on the flip side of that, we want to talk about a moment in time where you felt like you were doing everything you needed to do. This felt exactly like where you needed to be. Can you share one of those moments with us?
Okay. Wow. Well, I don't think I'm where I need to, I'm not where I want to be at the moment, but, for me, one of the things that really gave me courage and it really gave me a sense of belonging in entrepreneurship was when, you know, I was you know, it was like my first, it was my last New Year's Eve. It was New Year's Eve to the New Year where my grandma was still alive, and she watched like national television. It was my first exclusive interview at that time. It was playing, it was New Year's Eve, and she was so proud of me. And for me, it is all because of entrepreneurship. And, you know, when I've never seen her proud like that, you know, and it was the last, you know, last New Year's Eve I spent with her. And I remember the joy I saw in her eyes, and I saw that, you know, that with this, you know, I can really change lives, not only minds, but, you know, for someone next to me, you know. So it was, for me, that point was really amazing. So, yeah.
Wow, that is powerful. I find that often when I talk to entrepreneurs, the moments that they remember are the moments that they've made a connection with someone, not really the moments where they make money. I mean, there are those few times where people remember the first time they got that paycheck because their back was against the wall. Typically, it's the connections that we make with people that are powerful. We're going to get into the rapid fire round. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's shoot it.
So what would you say was initially stopping you from taking the step to become an entrepreneur? If anything.
I feel like, or anything, okay. I feel like fear, you know, I feel like fear is a very, very, it's a weird, it's a dangerous disease, you know. I feel like fear, as I said, you know, at that time, people were even people are terrified of entrepreneurship. And for me at that time to even think of doing a business, it was like, you know what, you know, so for me, it was fear, you know, the fear really, it was the thing that really, it put me in a shell at that time, you know, but now, you know, I've got it easy, you know, even the fear let me not say bad opinion, but the negative criticism or, you know, constructive criticism when someone is be like, no, you know what, do like this, do like that, you know, because people are really scared of criticism, and you know, that's one of the fears that really, you know, it tempered me with in a lot of times, but yeah.
And when did you stop looking at your business as a project and more as an actual business?
Oh, as an actual business, okay, for me, I think it is when I won the 10,000 rand prize at the entrepreneurial competition. Mm. It is where I saw that, this is really, really, you know, this is really big. If I can put, you know, my mind, if I can apply my focus, if I can apply my thoughts into, you know, I can really, you know, create something bigger than this. So it was really at that time.
Hmm. Yeah. And what quality do you think contributes most to your success as an entrepreneur? And what would you say is your superpower as an entrepreneur?
Well, you know, for me, I don't think that, you know, there's really, you know, any superpower with being an entrepreneur. It's just, you know, it's for me, the as I said, for me, the power of fear and not having, you know, the fear of criticism and taking whatever bad and making the good. Because a lot of entrepreneurs really, you know, they struggle with that, you know, they can't take the bad and make the good out of. So I think I'm very, you know, I'm a rock in terms of criticism. I'm unscathed. So I feel like that's one of the things, but it's not just about arrogance, but it's just about knowing that, you know, whatever bad I can, you say, or whatever criticism you say, I can go out and go out and have a better, you know, better outcome the next time. So that's one of the things.
And what quality do you wish to improve on most as an entrepreneur?
Well, one thing I need to improve more, it's definitely patience. Definitely, the sense of allowing people to just, you know, to be, you know, the voice, you know what I mean? Sometimes you can be the entrepreneur, you can have the vision and stuff, but sometimes, you know, you're setting whatever it is to people. So the people have the power at the end of the day, it's not you. So for me, it's really just being a bit more vulnerable and just being, you know, myself and, you know, people taking me, as I am. So I feel like that's one of the traits I need to build more on myself on. So, yeah.
Hmm. And what's the best advice you've received and who is it from?
The best advice I received, let me check. I feel like there's a lot. Wow. I remember there was a seminar I went to in Stanton. There was this guy who owns a production company called The Bar Leader, The Bar Leader TV, who's a legend man, and he said, you know, one thing you should understand about life is that it doesn't owe you anything, you know. So for me, that really stuck to me, you know, because with South Africa, I feel like there's a lot of entitlement going on, you know, a lot of, you know, some is really, it's justifiable, but sometimes it's just, you know, it's really, it's sort of, you know, ridiculous, and you need to understand that you need to work hard and really build a vision of South Africa that, you know, that we all envision, not only our late beloved Nelson Mandela, but all the South Africans that, you know, envisioned, you know, a very racial free South Africa, a South Africa for the people, by the people, and not, you know, just, you know, a freedom that is just based on, you know, paper and legislation and not on action. So yeah.
Nice. I like that. And what is something that you're reading right now?
The current book that I'm reading right now is The Power of Broke by Damon Shaw. It's a very, you know, it's a very well thought, well processed book. It's his version of business and the term of being broke and a lot of you know, insight, you know, on chapters. There's a lot of industry people, there's a lot of media execs, there's a lot of big shot entrepreneurs in the book that we talk about, you know, the days that they were starting out and really when they had the only resource they ever had was passion. So it is really, it's a really nice read. I'm currently reading it right now, but I'm really hooked on it. Because I don't read a lot of books. I read a lot of, let's say, you know, the motivational speeches and stuff like that. But I'm not quite a book reader. So for me, that book really captivated me, and you know, that's what I'm reading right now. Yeah.
Nice. And what is one internet resource or application that you couldn't live without?
I couldn't live without, I think Twitter, you know, Twitter. I can't really live without Twitter, you know. It's that one, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you have another, you can mention it if you'd like.
Okay. Yeah. For me, I'd say Twitter. I'd also put in YouTube, because I feel like YouTube as its own has become more than just, you know, a video sharing website, but it's much more broader. It's much more, you know, deep and very, how can I say? Like, it's very, you learn a lot from YouTube these days, more than just any other, you know, platforms. But yeah, so Twitter and YouTube from other, I can't really live without. So
Nice. Yeah. And to close out the rapid fire round, do you feel like you've made it yet?
Not even, you know. I'm 19 years. I've had a lot, coming my way. But, you know, I feel like with the foundation and just, you know, the stepping stone or the declaration of, you know, I'm doing this, you know, that for me, I feel like, you know, that really makes me who I am right now. And I just need to build on that and go for it.
Nice. And, as we cool down now, I'd like to talk a little bit about mentorship. So can you talk about who your mentors are and what the general value is of mentorship to you?
for me, no, officially, I don't have a mentor officially. You know, I just look up to a lot of, you know, of people like Aliko Dangote. I look up to to guys like Cyril Ramaphosa, guys like DJ Tira, you know, Casper Nyoves, you know. I feel like I look up to people more than I have mentors, because, you know, with that, you know, I come from a place where, you know, you just had to do it and just, you know, do whatever that you need to do. So for me, it's, you know, just being inspired by that works, and that just keeps me going, and it just makes me, you know, very intrigued that, you know, I can really change the world with just, you know, my vision and just putting work on it. So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Well, you know, they say you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And by listening to interviews, by reading people's books, what you're doing is surrounding yourself with that same knowledge and informing yourself with that same knowledge that those people have. So that's a way of being mentored from a distance. I've had a few people say that they've experienced that, and they will name someone that they've never met as their mentor. So, understand that you're the average of the people that you spend the most time with. And, it's good to surround yourself with people who have been where you want to go and who have done what you want to do in life. You're on the right path.
Yeah.
Now, what advice would you give to some of the people listening who are maybe afraid to take that next step into entrepreneurship that they know they should?
Well, you know, for me, any advice, you know, with South Africa, you know, with as I said earlier on, with our, you know, the problem is, you know, there's a lot of barriers in entrepreneurship, period, you know. Mm. There's a lot of people, you know, they try, you know, but there's a lot of barriers in a lot of, you know, even industries, you know, and with the land issue, I'm sure I'm not sure if you've heard about the land issue that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you heard about it.
Yes.
Yes, yeah, the land issue that's going on right now, you know, with the resource really being privately owned and stuff like that, you know, that sort of pulls people back. But the only thing I can advise people is that, you know, it helps to have, you know, a passion for what you want to pursue, you know, because, you know, especially when it comes from a place where, you know, the passion is the only, you know, resource you have, no land, no capital, you know, it helps you, you know, realize that the dream or vision that you have, it really forces you to keep it alive and to make sure people, you know, not only invest, you know, their time and money into it, but they also invest their emotions and their feelings into it. So, yeah.
Mm. And as we say goodbye, unfortunately, we've reached that point where we're saying goodbye. How can people connect with you, whether it's through your social media, your website, email, all of that stuff?
Our website is, our e-commerce website is coming out soon. People can check me out on @LloydTrill on Twitter and Instagram for updates on that. Lloyd Trill is LloydTrill. So that's just Twitter and Instagram. Nganda on Facebook. There's also Ultra Share SA on Twitter. There's Ultra Share on Facebook. We also got Ultra Share SA on Instagram. So just, you know, Ultra Share. Just search that and yeah, man. It's really been a pleasure, and I'm really thankful that, you know, we get, you know, time to tell, you know, our authentic African, you know, experiences to y'all. that jazz, you know, and I hope it is worth it.
Oh, definitely. And we leave with the final question. So here it goes. You're tasked with building the greatest business the world has ever seen. You can bring on two people, living or dead. Who would you bring on and why, and what would you do?
Okay. I'll definitely bring back Steve Jobs. I'll definitely bring back Steve Jobs, and also I'd really like Trevor Spearman from that. There's a session who kindly styled. I think it was Justin Bieber. I think, you know, when he came there in that style. His name is Trevor Spearman. So I think Steve Jobs and Trevor Spearman for me. I feel like, you know, that would be, you know, iconic. So yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a pleasure speaking to you today. I've appreciated it, and I've learned from you, and I'm sure the Bandits have learned quite a bit also.
Yeah. No. It's really upon my, like, you know, upon myself to really shine, you know, the good and also the bad that really affects, you know, our beloved continent. And really our country. But, you know, with that, I really appreciate, you know, the listeners. You know, I hope you really paid attention and you took something. You know, as long as you took something, then I'm happy.
Nice. Stay inspired.
Hey, if you're still there, thanks for listening. If you like the show, please hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Handle is Knowledge Bandits everywhere. We have closed sessions lined up with some of the entrepreneurs that we've already interviewed. So if you have questions that weren't answered during the show, you'll have a chance to connect with them during these closed sessions. Just go to the Knowledge Bandits website at knowledgebandits.com and sign up for the newsletter on the contact page. If you or someone you know has a business, we'd love to share your story with the Knowledge Bandits community. Just send an email to interview@knowledgebandits.com. If you have a question for me or you want to connect with any of the guests so far, send an email to me personally at arum@knowledgebandits.com.
Stay inspired.